Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
1-866-823-1077 is our phone number for you to join the conversation. Brought to you by Riley's Sports Shop and Hooks It. Second Amendment Tuesdays here on Bulldog Live on The Pulse.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
Again, Riley Sports Shop, located at 1575 Hooksett Road. That's the Daniel Webster Highway in Hooksett. You can reach them online at rileysguns.com or 485-5000. And boy, oh boy, check out all the great things they have in stock and all the accessories that you would need to go along with it as well. Attorney Penny Dean, how are you today?
I am well. How are you?
I'm having a blast.
Oh, good deal. It's
big blast. Many of them. One after another.
Okay. I hope some of the blasts include gunpowder, smokeless powder, and all the good powders.
Yes. Oh, boy. So, what do you have for us today?
Well, your governor, because he's not my governor.
Okay.
Vetoed SB 88.
Yes. SB 88, for people who need to know what that is.
SB 88 was a mulligan stew, okay? And it isn't my perfect mulligan stew, but given the makeup of our legislature, it's the best mulligan stew we could get. It was a whole bunch of bills rolled into one. I would call it the Ward Bird Bill. It had an expansion in theory of our self-defense rights, which we greatly need, and a few other little bits about whether or not brandishing is a criminal act, in other words, when you display a firearm. Now, unfortunately, pointing was removed from that bill, thanks to Representative Dave Welch, which is a bad thing, by the way. But overall, given, you know, politics and what you can get through practically, it was a whole sight better than what we've had in the past. And SB 88 was designed to, in theory, give you the right to defend yourself anywhere you have a right to be, meaning if you were at the grocery store, if you were at the movies, if you were wherever, you would have a right to defend yourself,
mm-hmm.
Okay, rather than running away. You know, I think it's really offensive to, in theory, a civilized society, that when someone attacks me, I have to run away.
Right.
You know, I just find that offensive. Someone's beating your mother, no, you got to try and drag your mother to some sort of safety before you get to defend her, you know, as a practical matter. And so the bill SB 88, like everything that comes out of the House, was not perfect, but you know what? It was a darn sight better than what we've had. So at least it was something, a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And Governor Lynch, as we all thought he would, vetoed it. And let me tell you the offensive things that happened that people need to know about that really should make them stand up and take notice. Is we had a bunch of law enforcement officers coming to the hearing saying, if you enact this, we're going to have blood in the streets. People are going to have shootouts over grocery carts. Oh, my God, we can't have this happen. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me.
The governor said it himself. He said, you'll have shootouts in grocery stores.
Yeah. Don't you take that canopies. That's my canopies.
Yeah.
I mean, we got a whole shelf full of canopies, and I'm going to shoot you over canopies, you know? Come on. That's just plain silly. It's beyond silly. It's insulting. And so the bottom line is that people, as a practical matter, can't even defend themselves in their homes in this state, regardless of what they tell people. You talk about the Stuart Urys and all sorts of cases that I've had where people are in their own home and attempt to defend themselves, and they're prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bottom line is, if you think we're going to actually think it's a carte blanche, I tell people all the time, I'll run every time because I'm more afraid of the criminal justice system, criminal injustice system, than I am the criminals. And so the bottom line is, in this particular case, when Governor Lynch vetoed it, we had a whole bunch of people lined up saying, you know, well in advance, coming out publicly, we're asking the governor to veto this bill. And one group that really has great concern for me, and I have not seen a copy of the letter yet, and I'm dying to get a copy, I'm going to have to get one through the Right to Know Act, is supposedly the Sheriff's Association sent Governor Lynch a letter, and they've come out publicly and said they did, asking him to veto SB 88.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question I have, and I don't know the answer to it, how many sheriffs signed this letter? Did all of them sign it? Did all of them approve of it? Or just did just one or two or three? And the reason I think it's really important to know this is, number one, is sheriffs are elected. And I can tell you that if my sheriff signed this letter, I think we should unelect him. You know, the bottom line is we have a right to elect or unelect whoever we choose for sheriff. And if your sheriff signed this letter asking the governor basically to veto your right to self-defense, do you want that sheriff in office?
No.
You know, and the whole thing is, I sure as heck don't. And so the bottom line is that we need to find out, and everyone should find out. When we get it, hopefully we'll post it on your site, and find out who the heck in the world signed that. And then we have to look at different members of law enforcement. And I tell people, in towns where sheriffs, or I'm sorry, where we have any type of input in the chief of police, I think you need to say, look, if my chief of police signed this, what the heck? You know, what the heck? Do I want him to be in charge of my town and my life? He's going to be the one sending officers to investigate if there's a shooting at my house. Do you want, as well as the Attorney General's office, do you want that person making a decision as to whether or not you were justified in using self-defense? Because as the bottom line is that if you have any type of altercation in your house, what law enforcement authorities, the first responders, what they see and report weighs heavy in what's going to happen to you.
Nope, good point.
Yeah, so the bottom line is, you know, and then we have to look at all the groups that ask Lynch to veto SB 88. And the answer is, why are they against us having the right to self-defense?
Right, and as I'm seeing here, you know, among the many, because you can go to the governor's website and you can read the veto message, actually, and he writes on here, back in 2006 he vetoed it because of the New Hampshire Association Chiefs of Police, the New Hampshire Sheriff's Association, the state police, and representatives of over 40 local law enforcement departments, and the former attorney general warned it would jeopardize public safety. So, I know, that's what he's saying. And he says, many of the same organizations and the current attorney general asked me to veto this bill because it contains the identical provision governing the use of deadly force.
And everyone has to remember, the former attorney general, Kelly Ayotte, who absolutely was against your right to self-defense. Now, her all of her blogs and everything, now, I support your right to self-defense. I'm a Second Amendment advocate. Gee, when you're attorney general, you got the governor to veto it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does that work? And I think the bottom line is...
And he's reminding people of that today.
Yep, absolutely. The governor's reminding people of that. And, you know, it's the saying of where you stand depends on where you sit. And that's an example to me of a politician changing their viewpoint on a particular subject when it suits them.
I want to point out something, Penny. I'm reading this governor's message again, and
okay.
I read it when it first came out.
Yep.
But I'm reading it again, and here's what he says, and this is interesting. Existing New Hampshire law already allows citizens to stand their ground and use deadly force in any location to protect themselves or another person in response to another's use of deadly force or to prevent a kidnapping or sexual assault, no matter where those offenses take place.
You know, I read that, but someone needs to give that message to the attorney generals and the county attorneys that prosecute those cases, because for some darn reason, you know, his little words, and I say words mean nothing, and that's an example to me of words mean nothing. Actions mean more, because the bottom line is the actions in this case have been horrific. You know,
okay.
In other words, when we're talking county attorneys, you know, when Kelly Ayotte was the attorney general, Ann Rice said, I'm not aware of any cases where self-defense has been prosecuted. No cases in that state has that ever happened. We gave her a whole list, and then she went to each one. Well, there was a question about this one. There was a question about this one. I said, yes, Stuart Urey on his porch, two convicted felons attacking him. Yeah, you know, and Stuart Urey, who's, you know, never so much as had a speeding ticket in his life at that point, on his own porch. Yeah, that's a questionable case. Of course it is. Come on. It's just like the priest in his rectory getting attacked. How much better of a fact pattern do you want to get? And you're saying it's justified that they prosecuted him?
Here's another thing, too, and I think the government might be stretching it on this one as well. Current law also allows citizens to use deadly force to protect themselves against an intruder in their own home, regardless of whether the intruder has used deadly force.
You want me to tell you what? We need to save that article, and next time someone gets prosecuted, bring that to the judge and say, oh, this is what the governor said. So we're going to help you with the law, judge. You think that you know what the law is, judge, but let me show you what the governor has told us. And the whole thing
I can tell you what law enforcement officers have told me.
Okay, what have they told you?
They have told me that you cannot use deadly force in your home if they are using non-lethal force in your home. You have to be in fear for your life.
So your home is not your castle.
That's right. That's what they told me. And then here's what the governor says in this same paragraph. And current law puts the burden on the state to disprove beyond reasonable doubt claims of self-defense in other cases.
You know, there's theory and there's reality. And there's reality. You know, I came from the country where I used to pull 300 motors a year. And if you look in some of the Ford or GM manuals at the time, they say, remove the oil filter. Well, the engineer that designed it didn't bother to tell you, or remove those spark plugs. And in order to do that, you had to pull the motor mounts and the whole engine. So in theory, yeah, you just pull those spark plugs. But yeah, you got to pull the motor mounts and the engine first. And it's kind of like Governor Lynch saying that. I'm like, yeah, there's theory and there's reality. You know, tell the people that have faced this, you know, a jury of 12 and faced losing their job and everything that they can ever imagine, that this is how it works.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, I just can't believe it. You know, easily remove, even if the person could easily remove himself or herself from an encounter without exposing himself or herself or anyone else to danger, that's just plain silly. You know,
right.
it isn't the way it works. And you know what? I'm really insulted that the governor would put something else drivel out there, like people should believe him.
Well,
I mean, they can't read the all the newspaper articles throughout the year that report self-defense cases being prosecuted. Are they all wrong? Are the people newspapers making that up?
And what about the cases that you've talked about in great detail over the years as well?
That's exactly it. And here's the really sad thing: the majority of those type of cases actually plea out early. You know why?
Because they don't want to spend years and years paying lawyers.
That's exactly right. And taking a risk that if they're convicted, like Ward Byrd, they're going to do a 3-6. You have to give people like him a lot of credit that he was willing to put his money where his mouth is and his life, his liberty where his mouth is. And he went to trial believing he did the right thing. And he risked a 3-6 prison sentence, which, of course, he was imposed upon him.
Right. Well, at which the sentence was commuted. He's now home, but the felony conviction still stands because the governor negated the executive council's vote to grant him a full pardon.
Absolutely. You know, that was the saddest thing, and that's an example of thank goodness for the executive council, but the governor still has left a really big mark on him. And this governor tends to split the baby in the middle, and that's an example of him splitting the baby in the middle. You know, because, for example, he commuted it, but he didn't give him a full pardon.
Right, exactly. 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Bulldog Live. Attorney Penny Dean joining us for Second Amendment Tuesdays, brought to you by Riley's Gun Shop, 1575 Hooksett Road in Hooksett, 485-5000. They're open 9 to 5, Monday through Wednesday. Thursday and Friday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. How convenient is that?
It is good. It's good because, you know, you never know when you just have nothing to do on a night that you want to go have a little gun store shopping.
Right. It's Saturday 9 to 5 and Sunday from 10 to 5. So it's all good stuff. Rileysguns.com. And again, Riley's Sports Shop making it possible to have Penny Dean right here on Bulldog Live. So what are we hoping for, Penny, with the Senate Bill 88 that was vetoed by the governor? You know, what do you think the chances of overturning this veto?
Well, I really hope that they're good, and here's why. It was passed by a veto-proof majority in both houses. When they come back in September, I hope they're going to override the governor's veto. And I think really, I presume they will, and here's my thoughts, is we have an election coming up before you know it. And you can bet firearm owners are going to look and say, if we have a Republican supermajority, if you will, in both houses, and you guys don't override the governor's veto, what good are you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what good are you? The bottom line is that needs to be overrode. And the issue is that even with that, that bill for all their talking, doesn't even go nearly far enough. We actually need much, much more protection, but I look at that as a start. You have to have a start somewhere.
Well, and this is where all the various groups had gotten together to support what had passed,
you know,
in order to get something going anyway.
You know, something was better than nothing, and that's exactly it. Something's better than nothing, and this still gave us a good start. But my point is, that's very, very sad to me, is even with this itty-bitty start, the governor and cops don't even want you to have this little chance. And we're talking a little minute chance. They want to keep it right now where it's really, really, really unbalanced. Law enforcement has a huge edge on the average citizen. And it isn't like the old days. I talked to this old fellow I know who's a cop, who used to be a cop, right? And in the old days, cops did the right thing. And that we don't see that happen anymore. You know, they used to be really, use a lot of good judgment in the field. And you just don't see that happen anymore. It's like they have criteria to meet and quotas to meet. And, you know, I have a case right now. It's a DWI. And you know what the state trooper is most concerned about? His win-loss record. Not what's just and not what's right, but his win-loss record. And that isn't the way it's supposed to be. In other words, we're supposed to have a balanced system here where justice is supposed to be done. And I see really that doesn't happen in a lot of instances. You take, you know, SB 88. If you ask these sheriffs how many that signed this letter, and again, we don't know if one or all of them did, how many cases do you see of people who are just crazy and brandishing firearms and shooting people that walk free with self-defense claims? You know what? You know the answer of how many we're going to get out of that.
Well, according to Governor Lynch, drug dealers and other felons who brandish weapons will be further emboldened to use their weapons, while prosecution of those criminals will be more difficult because of the bill's expansion of the right to use deadly force.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Not only that, if think about it. If you're a drug dealer, okay.
And a felon in possession of a weapon.
Yeah, and I'm going to call the police and say that I brandished a firearm at another person. Hell no! You know, you're gonna take your little drugs and go on your way, because the first thing they're gonna do is, you know, the police are gonna ask detailed questions about the scenario.
Right.
So you're a felon, right? You had a gun and you were pointing a gun at him. Yeah. Come on.
I know. Exactly. Well, Penny Dean, how do people get in touch with you?
230-9999.
Very good. Got to run. Thank you very much. Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean, brought to you by Riley Sports Shop. Have a good week.